You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I turned on my radio this morning. I'm usually an early riser, typically between 5 and 6 o'clock. And what I normally do is listen to the Bill Bennett Show. And that's where I learned for the first time that the president had announced early this morning that a deal has been struck between the United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, this agreement, deal, treaty, however you want to characterize it, the words that are being used to describe it is historic. I think that's true. It is an historic agreement, but it's an historic mistake, as the Prime Minister of Israel has called it. It has also been described as a catastrophe. I thought about it. How would I characterize it? I would characterize it as traitorous terrorist treaty. Now, I don't use those words lightly, but I don't think anybody would disagree that the so-called Islamic Republic of Iran is the leading terrorist nation in the world. They cannot be trusted. They have broken agreements upon agreement. The mistake began when our president thinks he can talk to terrorists and get an agreement. He didn't get an agreement. He lied, both him and his Secretary of State, of what was going on. And that will become very, very clear when chapter and verse of this roughly 160-page document is reviewed by experts in this field. Let me take just one, I think, very revealing aspect of it. Most Americans, including I, would say when we have an agreement involving nuclear weapons and their development by Iran, that you have an inspection. What in the military would be called a no-notice inspection. In other words, a surprise inspection. You show up and you want to inspect whatever area you're in. That's not what this agreement has. First, you have to request of Iran to inspect a certain area. They have upwards of a month or longer before they permit you in the country if they do. If that's the best our Secretary of State can do, ladies and gentlemen, that's not enough. It's clearly not enough. Donald Trump is right. We've been rolled. And the only thing I can think of is what is motivating these people, our President and Secretary of State. In the case of John Kerry, I think he's, and it's no secret, wants to get a Nobel Peace Prize. He's selling out our country for a Nobel Peace Prize? This is not a deal to be proud of. This is a deal that must be summarily rejected. Now, Congress has 60 days to review it. Preliminary indications are thumbs down. This deal smells to high hell. I just gave you one, but probably the most important. You need to inspect without notice. Now, the administration likes to, well, verify. We're going to have a lot of inspections. Excuse me. Let me give you an analogy, and it's really an appropriate analogy here. Imagine that our police call up a mobster and say, I just want to let you know in 30 days we're going to execute a search warrant. What do you think the mobster would do? He would hide whatever is in his house or place of business. What do you think the Iranians are going to do? Assuming they even let us in. This treaty agreement is a disaster. And what's even disgusting about it, our leverage were the sanctions. And Iran came to the negotiating table with their prime objective is to getting the sanctions pulled off or relieved from the sanctions. That was their motivation and frankly their only motivation to talk for over 10 years. They want a nuclear weapon, and they're continuing to develop a nuclear weapon. If you listen to this show, as far as I'm concerned, they have one or more nuclear weapons today. Throughout this entire process, the American people have been lied to and misled by this administration. I don't trust this administration, and I certainly don't trust this administration to negotiate with a regime that oppresses its own people. It's the leading terrorist regime. It's killed more Americans than any other nation in recent memory, barring World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. They've been at war with us. If you listen to past shows, you know my approach is rather different. What should have been done is Iran should have been given an ultimatum. You have a limited amount of time, let's say 90 days, just for an example, to dismantle and destroy all your nuclear weapon capability under the supervision and inspection of the United Nations International Atomic Energy Agency. And if you don't agree with that, the or else is we will destroy them. In other words, we go to war with Iran. I don't say that casually at all. And there are many people pushing for that. I'm not one of them. The problem with negotiating with a terrorist regime that has consistently broken its agreements is you can't trust them. I don't trust them at all. Just recently, they were caught cheating again, trying to purchase some material. That's been their track record. They're celebrating in Tehran today. I would caution them to be very careful here. Congress, I'm pretty sure, is going to reject this treaty. From the few experts that have had some time that not only follow this, but remember, this is a long technical agreement. They keep shaking their heads. This is beyond appeasement. This is worse than Munich when Chamberlain supposedly negotiated peace in our time with Adolf Hitler. It's worse than that. Because Iran will continue to develop the bomb no matter what they say. Reagan said trust or verify. Here it's don't trust and they don't verify. Don't trust and don't verify. That is what we have. This is embarrassing, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous because what will this ultimately lead to? That Iran has many, many, many nuclear weapons. And they will use the time to develop their missiles and miniaturize those weapons so they can be put on those missiles and used. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is you're dealing with a bunch of religious fanatics. They're not rational actors. Israel, for example, has upwards of 500 nuclear weapons. They don't tell you how many they have, but you'll get a range of estimates. That's more on the high side. But there's a big difference. They've never used them, never even threatened to use them. They have them for one purpose only, to tell the Arab nations that surround them, if you try to destroy Israel and kill our people and our backs are to the wall, we have the weapons to destroy you. It's strictly defensive. Yet the most aggressive terrorist organization by far is Iran and their so-called proxies in the Middle East. Barack Obama has succeeded in alienating not only the government of Israel, but Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan. The Arabs simply don't trust them. The Israelis don't trust them. The American people don't trust them. And there's a reason why. It comes down to a core character flaw in our president, and that is his inability to tell the truth. He's an habitual liar, and he's been lying, as has John Kerry. They really are a match pair in that regard. They both have that problem. telling the truth. And the problem with people that don't tell the truth is, after a time, no one believes them. They have what is called a credibility problem or an integrity problem. I knew that once the details come out of what John Kerry, with the blessing of Obama, had negotiated, it's going to hit the ceiling. I don't like to prejudge anything. I made a bold attempt to briefly try to read it. You can't read it quickly. And you got to be real careful, especially the definitions. And you got to know the background. That's why most people, including me, will defer to people that are experts on this. You see why not immediately the sanctions will be relieved, in other words, lifted, and there goes our leverage. Out the window. I hope and pray Congress rejects this, but here's the problem we face. Barack Obama has already said he will veto any attempt to defeat this agreement. In other words, he's put Congress on notice, primarily the Democratic Party. If this doesn't meet with your approval, you're going to have to veto it. And right now, as of today, the Republican Party doesn't have the votes. It needs Republican vote. It needs Democratic votes to defeat this. Now, there are a number of Democrats that are not happy with this agreement. What you're going to see in the next few days and weeks is the exposure of what's in this agreement or treaty. It really should be a treaty. And you need to understand that most diplomatic agreements are agreements. They don't rise to the level of a treaty. This certainly does rise to the level of a treaty. Because what are the consequences of this treaty? It's nuclear proliferation in the Middle East. Do you think Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Egypt are going to stand by and let Iran, over the period of the next 10 to 15 years, perfect their missiles? And knowing that they are, with a high probability, going to cheat? No, they're not going to sit still for this. The legacy that Obama is going to have is nuclear proliferation in the Middle East. That is a highly dangerous situation for everybody. And the problem the United States has is a nuclear weapon could very conceivably be given to terrorists to detonate in the United States. He's putting American people at risk. He's putting our allies at risk. He's putting the whole Middle East at risk so he can have a legacy. What he has is a disaster, and it's a disaster of the first order, and it's probably worse than many people expected. There is no, for example, there is no dismantling or destruction of what is referred to as Iran's nuclear infrastructure and what I call their bomb factories. None. There's no disclosure as to their nuclear capabilities. Kerry says he absolutely knows what they are. Oh, the United States, as well as other nations, have been surprised by Iran when suddenly they find out about a facility that they didn't know existed. You would like to say they're just incredibly naive, but they're not naive. It's sad to think that any American, especially a senator and now Secretary of State, values the Nobel Peace Prize over the security of the American people and the nation of the United States. But apparently does. And apparently President Obama is compelled to justify his receipt of really an undeserved peace prize after only a few months in office. This is folly, folks, of the first order. It is historic. An historic first, but it's not something that when the history is written about this is something any president would consider an accomplishment or an achievement. It's a sellout of the American people, and I think it's a sellout to justify a Nobel Peace Prize. When the irony of the situation, this leads to a much greater unstable Middle East. It's greatly unstable as is. You add nuclear weapons to the mix, and it endangers everybody on this planet. Barack Obama has just given the green light, whether he knows it. He obviously won't say this. Iran will have nuclear bombs. I already think they have them. So what is the net result? I don't know if Congress, whether enough votes in Congress to sustain a veto by the president. Now, Congress will most likely send up a bill rejecting this agreement that really should be called a treaty. And then President Obama will veto it. And then it's up to Congress to get enough votes to overturn that veto. I think that is unlikely right now. But Congress has 60 days to mobilize the American people, and that's what it's going to take. And pressure is going to have to be brought to bear on all Democrats in the Senate and the House, because that's the only way you're going to overturn a presidential veto. But that's what it's going to take to stop this bad deal from becoming law. I believe most, if not all, of the Republican candidates for president will most likely agree that should they get the nomination and win the election, that one of their first acts as president is to totally repudiate what I'm calling the traitorous terrorist treaty, because it borders on treason, because this fundamentally puts hundreds of millions of people at risk. Supposedly early on, the president and John Kerry said, no way will Iran get a nuclear bomb when they're president. That was the weasel word, when they're president. The problem is, this treaty means that if Iran doesn't have the bomb now, it will have it shortly. The so-called verification is a joke for the simple reason you don't give someone that you don't trust 30 days or longer and tell them what you're going to look at. You need a surprise inspection. That's absolutely fundamentally essential, and it's not there, folks. It's not there. Nor do we dismantle or destroy the existing facilities that Iran has that they're using both for research, producing the fuel, and ultimately building a bomb. Why bother to negotiate at all? Remember during the negotiations, I remember remarking on this, and at first I had trouble believing it. One of the negotiating parties, and remember there's a number of parties to this, China, Russia, which truly side with Iran, Germany, the United Kingdom, France, and the United States. I believe it was France. The comment was made, the impression that they were getting is that the United States was negotiating like it was Iran, or on Iran's behalf. That's when my mouth dropped. I'll be the first to say this was going to be a very difficult negotiation. Why? Because you don't have, in essence, something that you can agree with, because Iran wants a nuclear bomb. That is their goal, and they're going to get it if they don't already have it. That's why negotiations simply will not work in that type of situation. Where the United States wanted to totally stop Iran from ever having a nuclear weapon. That was the primary goal, to stop Iran from ever having a nuclear weapon. Don't forget that. That was the goal. Not to kick the can down the road another 10 to 15 years. That's what he does. Obama has a history of that. He doesn't like to take responsibility for his screw-ups. He likes to vote present, and he has a deserved reputation of being a lousy negotiator. So today was a wake-up call, and now it's going to be up to the American people and their elected representatives to truly do their homework and stop the traitorous terrorist treaty that was negotiated. Remember, the Senate has a role here, and they better exercise it. I know Obama agreed to a 60-day review. Frankly, this requires a longer review than 60 days. That was just another mistake of Congress. I think at least 120 days would be minimum. But he knew that once the agreement was published, and it was Russia that leaked the agreement, which is very interesting in and of itself. And it has a name, and I did put a link to it, or at least I thought I did. I know I did. Hang on a minute. Yes. What is it? It has a name. Oh, yes. It's a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Not agreement or treaty. Plan of Action. Even the title should set off alarm bells. You're supposed to reach an agreement, not a comprehensive plan of action. Action means you have too many open issues. See, I used to negotiate large military contracts. My point is this, you want the devil's in the details. You either have reached agreement or you haven't. You don't have a joint comprehensive plan of action. That tells you there are literally dozens of unanswered issues that are still up in the air. In other words, I don't think there's much when the experts have a chance to go over this with a fine-tooth comb, and I'm not saying it's going to take forever. It's just when you have this type of agreement, when it's approaching 160 pages, I think it's 159, that takes time. And a lot of it is in the definitions, and you got to be careful because you'll see some statements that would give you the impression, oh, this is a good deal, only to find out later that really it's not because it's not really agreed to. The big concession, really a mistake, before any of this should have really proceeded and sanctions being released, Iran should have been required to disclose all of its nuclear weapons development and production efforts, all of them. You don't do like John Kerry said, well, we absolutely know everything they have. Oh, you do? As one critic said, adults don't think like that, and certainly high officials in the government shouldn't think like that. It's tempted to call them the two fools, but that would be too easy. Hopefully in the next few days, few weeks, this agreement is going to be torn apart. And when the American people fully recognize what our president and secretary of state have done, I think they've ruined any chance Hillary Clinton will have to get elected. There will be an outrage amongst the majority of the American people. We're talking nuclear weapons that could start a nuclear war in the Middle East, could be used by a terrorist and exploded in a city in the United States. And we're providing them hundreds of millions of dollars to not only covertly continue their nuclear program, but also money to oppress their own people, as well as engage in terrorism throughout the Middle East. We're enabling terrorist religious fanatics, and Barack Obama considers this his legacy. I guess I would describe him as a damn fool, but we have to put up with him for another 18 months. This treaty, this traitorous terrorist treaty, must be terminated with extreme prejudice. It must be killed. The treaty must be killed. The American people will demand it and expect their elected representatives to vote no for this treaty. Anything less is simply unacceptable. We've been lied to, we've been misled, and the irony is, many times the Iranians were actually telling the truth, and our own administration was lying. There's no limit, for example, on missile production, which is rather key. You need to deliver nuclear weapons. Yes, you can always smuggle a weapon into a country, but the key delivery system of the United States nuclear weapons, as well as Russian and Chinese, is missiles. And you need to limit Iran's missile capabilities. That was not part of this negotiation. It should be ruled in because that is an integral part of a nuclear weapon. You can't just focus on the warhead or the bomb. Remember, the United States dropped two nuclear weapons over Japan. How did it get them there? It didn't have missiles. It used bombers. You can use aircraft, but the quickest and more effective way is missiles. And today, that's how nuclear weapons are primarily delivered, if and when they're used. And yes, it's expensive to develop a nuclear weapon, and it is expensive to develop missiles. But those technologies are available. And if you don't have them, you can purchase them, or purchase the technology that can get you there. This is very much a dangerous, dangerous precedent. I believe the American people have been sold out. Their trust has been fundamentally violated. This is much worse than what the Democratic Party did. And remember President Obama's words, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. And if you're a family of four, you're going to see your premiums go down. All lies, and they knew it. And he repeated it over and over and over again. To sell the American people a bill of goods. Well, we're being sold a bill of goods again. And it's about time that our elected representatives stand up and oppose this president. It's too late to impeach him. But I think this rises to that level. Because the number one function of the federal government is to provide for the national defense. And this puts all our military at risk, all our people at risk. But first and foremost, it puts our allies in the Middle East at risk. It totally destabilizes the Middle East. It's already highly destabilized already, thanks to this administration. This treaty agreement, I think, will be President Obama's swan song. He's already a lame duck. Unfortunately, the Republican Party has lacked backbone, and that's the problem. I wish they had enough backbone as the Iranians did. Barack Obama has crossed the line. He has gone too far, and this needs to be rejected. Hopefully, bipartisan rejection. I would hope an overwhelming rejection, but that, I think, is asking too much. I think this will do considerable damage to the Democratic Party and the people that are running either in the House of Representatives or the Senate as a Democrat. This is one area that I think the American people are sensitive about. I could be wrong, but I think they are. I've said in more than one show that the next presidential election, really the next election, one of the key concerns, and I would even say issues, will be trust. Can you trust this person? Is this a person of character, of integrity? Is this a person that tells the truth? Is this a person that levels with the American people? Not a waffler, not a liar, not a weasel worder, but an honest person. I think what we already know what we have in Obama and Kerry. They're rather known quantities. And the Iranians knew it as well. This is really a sad day. It's also a very dangerous situation. There's still time to stop it, but the clock's running. The clock is running, and money will be going, billions of dollars, to Iran. What do you think they're going to be using it for? Use your imagination. Remember, this is a regime that is really not liked by the people of Iran. It is very oppressive. They treat dissenters by torturing and killing them, and it's run by religious fanatics. And we're supposed to trust them? Reagan was right. Trust and verify. But you can't trust them. And the way this treaty is structured, you can't verify. You can't do a surprise inspection. In other words, an unannounced inspection where you fly in, the UN inspectors fly in and go to where they suspect their violations of the agreement. Can't do it. Can't do it by the terms and conditions of this agreement. I keep calling it an agreement. If the Russian document is legitimate, and I think it is, it's a joint comprehensive plan of action. Isn't that a hoot? A joint comprehensive plan of action. Trust us. We'll work out the details. No, Mr. President, I don't trust you or your Secretary of State or the people that you've used to negotiate this. If anything, you shouldn't be negotiating in the first place. But you chose to pursue this avenue. And if Congress fails to overwrite your veto, I think the American people would be well advised, whoever the Republican candidate is, to elect them, because I know they will repudiate this traitorous terrorist treaty. And that should, this agreement should be thrown in the wastebasket. I think if you demand a refund, the American people should demand a refund for the time and cost of these negotiations. This is supposedly President Obama's legacy. I hope and pray it's a very short legacy, because it has all the markings of another failure, such as Libya, such as Syria, such as Iraq, and now Iran. It seems that anything this administration touches turns to you-know-what. It starts with an S. Incompetence seems to be the hallmark of the Obama administration. Some say it's intentional. Maybe it is. I don't know. But failure after failure after failure, you begin to wonder. The American people elected President Obama for 2 terms. It hasn't worked out well. It has not worked out well, whether it's domestically or in foreign affairs. A lesson should be learned. The lesson should be, check out the person you're going to vote for. Do we have so-called character issues or integrity issues, which is a diplomatic way to say you can't trust them because they lie, cheat, and steal? Because if you elect a person that truly lacks character, has issues, you're going to get the results that we've had with Barack Obama. He was an historic president too, the first black president. Hopefully we're over that. In a sense, we should never vote for anyone based on race, as that's being his key credential or achievement to be our president. Identity politics gives you the results we've had. That's the flaw with voting for people that either share your color, your ethnic background, your religion, gender. That is not an appropriate basis for electing anybody for any office. It should be experience, achievement, and when you're talking the presidency of the United States, demonstrated leadership and executive ability, none of which President Obama had in the past, and it's showing today in his execution of his duties of the presidency of the United States. There'll be tonight, tomorrow, and I think even on Sunday, more analysis, more details will come out. I've listened to several experts or read articles from them already. It doesn't give me a warm feeling. I'll be the first to say I'm not an expert on nuclear weapons. Very few people are. It's rather an arcane subject. But because of that, you need to be very careful, deliberate, prudent, and I'm not seeing it. It's very easy to give someone on the opposing side concessions. And that is what strikes me. Supposedly, the United States was negotiating from a position of strength. Yet concessions after concessions after concessions were given to the Iranians. It's like they had the better hand. They had best a pair of deuces, and we should have a royal flush. And we're folding. We're being rolled. It would be funny if it weren't for the subject that they were negotiating about. It would be one thing if they were negotiating a trade agreement. It's quite another when we're talking about the Islamic Republic of Iran, who, since they've taken power in 1979, has been on a reign of terror throughout the Middle East, to the point that their neighbors that are Arabs, remember, and I need to say this, always need to remind people because I understand it, but a lot of people don't. The Arabs speak Arabic. Those are the Saudis, the Iraqis, the Syrians, the Egyptians. They're Arabs. The Persians are the Iranians. They speak Farsi. They're two very distinct cultures and histories. That you need to understand right off the bat. The second thing, and it's very important, the Arabs are Sunni, and the Sunnis are the majority of people that believe in Islam. Upwards of 90%, 89 to 90% of the world's Muslims are Sunni. Now, there are a number of sects of Sunnis, or denominations, if you want to think of it in terms of Christian denominations in the United States. The Persians are not Sunnis. They're Muslim, but they're Shia. And they represent about 10 to 11% of the people of the Islamic faith. There's a long history here. And to summarize it, they don't like each another. They actually hate each another. And they've been killing each other for centuries. Not years, not decades, for centuries. They don't get along. And they've been killing and torturing each another throughout those centuries. Oh, yes, you have periods where you might have a strong leader that stops this religious sectarian violence. But that's what we have now in the Middle East. Terrorism is continuing throughout the Middle East. Whether it's the Islamic State that are Sunni Salafist, or the Iranian Shia, or the Iraqi Shia. Remember, Iraq, the majority are Shia, at least two-thirds. The minority are Sunni. So we have a civil war, a religious war going on in Iraq, Syria, and one of the instigators is Iran. Iran supports Hezbollah, who is in turn supporting Syria, the Assad regime, and in the past has threatened and attacked Israel. But the primary backers of Hezbollah have been and are today Iran. They're a proxy for Iran. And the only thing these people understand, whether they're the Sunnis or the Shia, is force. Weakness invites attack. And that needs to be emphasized. And John Kerry and Barack Obama are the poster boys of weakness. And that's why we are faced with agreement and you wonder who in the world would have negotiated and agreed to this. Maybe it isn't an agreement. I have a little bit, I'm suspicious given that title. Usually when you have an agreement, most if not all of the details are nailed down. You know, in commercial contracts, the price, the delivery, the financing if it's involved, the terms and conditions are all agreed to. There isn't a plan of action to negotiate the terms and conditions or the delivery schedule. All of that is spelled out. I remember vividly. I dealt with a very large, one of the largest at the time, defense contractors. And one of their managers of contracts, he had a phrase he would use. And it wasn't a complimentary phrase, but it made the point. This is a hell of a way to run a railroad. Now, we weren't negotiating railroads, or I wasn't, and certainly my counterpoints weren't. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, are nuclear weapons. There are very few nations of the world that have nuclear weapons. Most of your industrial nations have decided not to do it. Why? It's expensive. It's not that they can't. Switzerland could have nuclear bombs if it wanted, but they don't because A, they know it's expensive. B, you have to maintain them. They're costly. You got to secure them. So most of the nations of the world have agreed not to develop nuclear weapons where many, many nations could. Japan could do it. Germany could do it. France has nuclear weapons. There are at least several dozen nations that if they decided to develop nuclear weapons could have them in a matter of years, some even faster. They don't do it. They rely in the past on the so-called superpowers. Today, the United States is the superpower of the world, but other nations have nuclear weapons, including Russia, Communist China, Pakistan, India, France, the United Kingdom, Israel. I've lost count. I believe there's a total of 10 nations. I could be a little off on the number. We want to limit nuclear proliferation, and that was a primary goal of Obama and anyone else, was to limit nuclear proliferation in the Middle East. This agreement does not do it. If anything, it gives incentives for Iran to do it on the sly. They're getting billions of dollars, yes, of their own money, because many of this is frozen assets. But this bonanza will be used to oppress their own people, to engage in terrorist acts across the Middle East and other countries, and yes, to further accelerate their missiles program as well as the development and miniaturization of their nuclear program. This is a total, complete disaster. And I'll say I'm going to have more shows on this, not necessarily tomorrow, because right now people are studying. The people that are interested in this subject are studying that agreement. See, the president thinks he can get away with it. Because why? He has gotten away with a lot. Because most Americans, sad to say, are not interested in foreign affairs. They're not. Most Americans, believe it or not, are not interested in politics. And that the politicians understand. But they also understand, and this is why they're going to be very careful on this, this is getting people's attention because of the subject matter, nuclear weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a serious subject. And more details will be forthcoming. And I have every indication from the people I'm reading and listening to that this treaty is nothing to write home about. So I'll conclude with the hope and prayer that our Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, will do the right thing. That's what we're talking about. Not what's best for Democrats, not what's best for Republicans, but what's best for the people of the United States of America. And it's not this agreement or plan of action, whatever they're calling it. A terrific opportunity has been thrown away so that the president and a secretary of state supposedly can have a legacy. I don't think this is a legacy. I think this is something to be ashamed of. Embarrassed. But that's the problem when you elect an individual with very limited experience. Well, the American people did, and they have no one to blame but themselves. So if they're not happy with this, You have to contact your representative. You have to write letters to the papers, call talk shows, and express your opinion on it, whatever it is. I know that the Democratic Party, as well as their friends in the media, are going to try to put a smiley face on this agreement. I think they'll be making a very big mistake. The American people need to demand that their elective representatives do the right thing. And the right thing is to kill this agreement so it never sees the light of day. And it's an unambiguous vote by Republicans and Democrats against a very bad deal. Or as the Prime Minister of Israel said, in a historical mistake. I hope this historical mistake does not lead to the deaths of hundreds of thousands or millions of people when the Iranians use their nuclear weapons. With that, I like to play America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.